Hey guys, Bill here. We're going to get to the show in a second, but first, just wanted to mention our sponsor today, Draft, which, if you love fantasy football, now the 2018 draft is done, fantasy football season has begun, and you can finally start drafting guys who are going to actually impact your fantasy team. So like me, if you drafted a lot of injured guys last year, this is your chance to put Calvin Ridley in the lineup. It's your chance to get Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, who we're talking about on the show over the next couple of weeks, in the lineup for you on Draft. And what makes Draft even better is that I'm someone who, as a football expert, quote unquote, I'm supposed to know a lot about fantasy football. I'm supposed to get my lineups right every week. I never get it right. I always leave someone with 35 points on the bench. I think I was the one owner who managed to have Adrian Peterson on the bench for his two big breakout games last year and started him like six other times. And Draft takes care of that because Draft assumes that you probably need some help putting your lineup together. And so it's a best ball league. So whatever your lineup is, whatever your roster is, Draft is going to automatically put the best players from your roster into the lineup. You don't have to worry about setting your lineup every week. You don't have to worry about bye weeks and whatnot. Draft is going to take care of that for you. So if you can draft well, you're going to win on Draft. It's season long. There's no management. You set it and you forget it. There's no trades, no waiver wire. It's just strictly a draft, which you figure is probably why they call their product Draft. Don't have to worry about injuries, no trades. Make a draft, succeed, move on. And even better, get paid. Play for cold hard cash on Draft because leagues start from just $3. And you can join me on Draft today by downloading the app, by searching for Draft in your app store, and you can join a game in minutes. There's no have to wait like a week to draft. You can draft today if you're so inclined, or you can just draft at draft.com. And even better, for a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a best ball draft when you make your first deposit. You just have to use my promo code, which, as you're not surprised to hear, is Barnwell. My last name, Barnwell. So go on Draft, pick your players, grab Saquon Barkley, grab Baker Mayfield, grab some old guys, I don't know, grab whoever you want. But don't worry about setting your roster. Don't worry about setting your lineup. Don't worry about injuries, trades, free agency. Draft, set it, and forget it. Go to the App Store and download Draft, or go to draft.com and play free with promo code Barnwell. And here comes the Bill Barnwell Show. Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell, ESPN. We are here on Friday, April 27th, 2018. First round of the NFL Draft is in the books. We appear to have had many trades. I think I wrote about them for ESPN.com very late last night. 8 trades, if I have my numbers right, during draft day, during the first round of the NFL draft. Still a lot of good players on the board. 5 quarterbacks did come off the board. Saquon Barkley did go to the Giants at the second overall pick, as I feared might be the right word in my column, but we'll get to Saquon in a minute. We're going to talk about the 5 quarterbacks who were drafted here and their eventual fits and where they landed. And joining me to do that is I would say a frequent contributor to the show, but I believe a first time billed guest on the program. That is, of the Fantasy Focus show of ESPN, a good friend, professional colleague, Daniel Dopp. Mr. Dopp, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is, it's been purported that we were going to do this show for a long time. Again, perhaps in the same way that I feared the Giants taking Saquon Barkley. Matthew Berry fearing that we would do a podcast together, but now here we are.
Here we are. And you know what? I think this is going to be the best show that we have ever done together.
It's certainly the first.
Yeah. Yes, so it is.
It may also be the worst one. Who can be sure?
I mean,
be very sad.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. I've been wanting to do this with you for a long time, so I'm real excited about it.
But you're like, I would characterize you as like a member of the band who is not typically said as a member of the band, but who is, I cannot imagine the band without.
Sure. It's like the guy that plays keyboards in the Foo Fighters that you don't know his name, but like without him, there's just like this thing that's missing.
Yes. Or you're like the light guy from Fish.
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, that's great. I'd totally be fine with that. Are you a big Fish guy?
I'm not. Okay. I'm not a big Fish guy, but I did enjoy the Analyze Fish podcast. So I learned a lot about Fish that way.
That's fair. That's fair.
So we have a lot to get to. A lot of interesting stuff happened in the first round of this NFL draft. And I'm going to ask you, I'll have my opinions as well, but we start with the first overall pick, which rumored to be Josh Allen. A couple of days ago, it seemed to be Sam Darnold. In the long run, it was neither of them. Baker Mayfield goes to the Browns with the first overall pick. What were your initial thoughts when you saw Baker Mayfield going to Cleveland?
I thought that he solidified this himself with that photo.
Yes.
That he did. I think he propelled himself to the number one pick.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. We're already sidetracked. There was a point, and I might be crazy, but I was born in 1984. I grew up, I guess, in the late 90s would be when I was a teenager.
Sure.
It was not weird to wear jean shorts.
No.
When I was a teenager. But now, I cannot fathom anybody under the age of 45 wearing jean shorts.
Sure.
Unironically, what happened? Is it just that the word jorts came into the into common language, and that was enough to be like, ooh, I don't think this is a good idea at all? Is it John Cena's fault? I don't understand what happened.
I really think the word had something to do with it, because until they were called jorts, I think they were pretty cool. My dad used to wear jean shorts all the time, and he was cool when I was a kid.
Fair.
So I really think once it became that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Baker Mayfield wore them surprisingly well.
That was great. That was like a genuinely funny thing that a draft pick did during a period where like everybody is on pins and needles. Nobody wants to say or do anything
yep.
or have tweets revealed from 5 years ago that might cause teams to think otherwise about them.
Sure.
Baker Mayfield was like, you know what? I'm going to do this thing that is funny. That is a good bit, a good piece of business from Baker Mayfield. And I'm excited. You know, I wrote a big column saying I don't know anything about quarterbacks. Nobody does. No one knows who's going to be good or bad. If I still had to give an opinion, I think I would have taken Baker Mayfield first. And I mentioned this on Scott Van Pelt's show. You know, the numbers have him as by far the best prospect in this year's draft class. His completion percentage on passes 20 plus yards downfield was 52%. Josh Allen's completion percentage on passes at or behind the line of scrimmage was, I think, 58%. So, I mean, this is a guy who was incredibly accurate. And I think in the long run, as we hear, you know, we hear from teams who say, okay, well, you know, we had a lot of easy throws at Oklahoma. Guys were wide open in that Lincoln Riley offense. You know, this is a league where offenses are changing. College offenses now are playing a bigger part in the things we see in the pros. The Eagles were running mesh and air raid concept that comes from BYU in the mid 80s, in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So I do think whoever drafted Baker Mayfield, and in this case the Browns, they should be stealing stuff from that Oklahoma offense. They should have some Lincoln Riley plays to set up for Baker Mayfield. And I do think that it's great that he doesn't have to rush into the lineup. I mean, this is a team that where if the Browns play Tyrod Taylor all year.
Yep.
You know, I don't think anyone's going to question that and say, we got to see Baker right now. So, I mean, I think relative to where he could have gone, and by that I mean the Jets, I think this is a relatively positive situation for him.
I completely agree with that. And as much as it's been hard for me in my head to reconcile that I can't have the stigma of Baker Mayfield as a Johnny Manziel comparison of a young, right. brash quarterback like that. And so that's the thing. If I am truly being honest with myself and saying they're two different prospects, and even though they have some things that are similar about them, I think you have to have a little bit of that swagger in Cleveland with how long that city has been searching for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a little bit of that. And like you said, he is coming from an offense where he had a lot of those short passes, a lot of those, you know, things that they were able to do at
sure.
Oklahoma. Duke Johnson is a fantastic pass catcher out of the backfield.
Yep.
Going out and getting Jarvis Landry, who's a guy who's great with run after the catch. It's not like mm-hmm. you have to go out there and he's going to be in a slinging it down the field every single time. He's going to be able to do, I feel like, a lot of those short throws that he mm-hmm. was comfortable with in college and then build on top of that. So I was a huge fan of this pick.
Yeah, I think it makes total sense. And, you know, it might not work. It's the Browns. They've destroyed more beautiful things in the past. But I think given the options, I can't fault them. You know, I can't, with Josh Allen, I think I would have sat here and said, in 5 years, they're going to regret this pick and felt pretty confident about it. Is it possible they might regret the Baker Mayfield pick? Sure. But I can't sit here and say it's more likely to fail than it is to succeed. So good for you, Browns. I'm happy with what you did, at least with the first pick in this year's draft.
That's fair.
We'll get to the rest of the draft in a second, but first, just wanted to talk about our partner, ZipRecruiter. Of course, if you watched the draft last night, you know ZipRecruiter is going to help you find the right person for the jobs that you have available, just like the NFL draft, where they're looking for players. And I've written about this. I don't think they're very good when it comes to NFL organizations. I don't think they do an excellent job of finding the right candidates for their jobs. I'm not going to lie, they should be using ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter does a far better job than NFL general managers and executives and scouts do. They built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you, and then 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. You don't have to wait. You don't have to let other people go ahead of you in the draft. You don't have to trade up or trade down. Just post your job, wait a day. 80% of employers are going to get a quality candidate through the site. And then it doesn't stop there. They're not like, oh, we're good. We got one person for you. That would be crazy. ZipRecruiter keeps going. They spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. If some bargain comes down later in the draft, ZipRecruiter is going to highlight that for you. You're going to get that first round grade in the fourth round with ZipRecruiter. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. $0 and 0 cents US by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. My last name, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L. You can post your job on ZipRecruiter for free today. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So then the Jets, Giants take Saquon Barkley. We'll get to him in a minute. But the Jets then decided at three, ended up taking Sam Darnold, who they had been linked to Baker Mayfield. It seemed like they probably would have taken Mayfield at three if they had the option. Instead, they take a guy who, you know, relatively, it's actually interesting that I think about it, because after his first year in college, Sam Darnold was seen as a presumptive first overall pick in the draft this year. And of course, he didn't have the best second season in college, ended up falling to the third overall pick. And the reason I mention that is the presumptive first overall pick after his rookie season following the, would have been the 2014 season? Maybe the 2014 season would have been Christian Hackenberg, who was a guy who was very impressive in his debut season in Penn State and then never really developed. Darnold, you know, was not as good during his second season as he was during his debut in 2016. So when it comes to the Jets here taking Sam Darnold, you'd really want to have a strong infrastructure for developing quarterbacks. And I don't know that this is there. I don't know that Jeremy Bates has been a great quarterback developer. And I think by all accounts, Josh McCown is a really nice guy, a really great dude, a veteran quarterback, really smart, has played a lot of different schemes, but it's not as if there's this long track record of Josh McCown helping to develop young quarterbacks under his stead. So I'm not as excited about Sam Darnold's chances of succeeding, just because I think he does have some work to do. And I mean, you look at that receiving core. Is it really the sort of receiving core you'd hope to have for a guy who was probably going to play pretty quickly as third overall pick?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a couple of different things here. Understanding that he's obviously be playing behind Josh McCown, but also they just signed Teddy Bridgewater. Christian Hackenberg, that experiment is over, so they got to figure something out there.
What do you think it would take for the Jets to play Christian Hackenberg? Like, if we started a GoFundMe and we're like, you know, it doesn't have to be a meaningful game, just a regular season game where you're down 20 points in the fourth quarter, you put Christian Hackenberg in for a series. Like, if we offered the Jets $10 million, do you think they would do it?
I think that they would. No, I don't think they would. No, I'm trying to think if they would even consider it. I don't think they would. Like, even if they are up, let's say they are up by so many points, they're not going to put Christian Hackenberg in the game. I don't think it's going to happen unless he is the placeholder on field goals.
Not even that. He was a second round pick, and they had nothing at the end of the year. They were running Bryce Petty out there, who they knew they weren't going to keep around.
I know.
And they wouldn't even give him a series. How, like, that is unfathomably bad.
Yes.
And I almost feel bad making fun of Christian Hackenberg. I'm not making fun of him or whatever skills he does or does not have, but it's just, how can you be so sure about a quarterback that you take him with, not even like a second round pick at the end of the round? There was 51. It was the middle of the second round they took him in. You know, to not give him any playing time in a season where you're going nowhere is, you should not be allowed to take a quarterback after that.
Yeah. To me, the understanding that they've got four quarterbacks, you know, and I get it. They're not going to play Bryce Petty. They're not going to play Christian Hackenberg. But even so, you've got four quarterbacks on your roster with Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater as well, and you add Sam Darnold to it. There's just so much there that I'm not sure you know, if teams start to struggle, if the Jets start to struggle with this, do they go to Bridgewater? I mean, what are they going to do with him? Is he just going to be a third stringer now?
I assume he's not going to make the team, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. I mean, they only guaranteed $500,000 to him, and he belongs to be somewhere else. Maybe they trade, you know, maybe they get a late round pick during training camp if someone's backup gets hurt. But I mean, you know, what's the point of having him as your third quarterback? You're not developing him for the long term. You want to have a guy behind there who's going to be at least, you know, maybe a long term backup for you. But Bridgewater just doesn't make sense.
So how does this Sam Darnold look to you with this wide receiving core? Like you had said, I mean, Robbie Anderson and Terrell Pryor are guys that have done things in the past, but they're also not, they haven't put together a storied career of being able to be consistent with everything.
I mean, the thing with Darnold is turnovers. That's always been his concern in terms of, you know, what teams had to work on with him. And I don't know that this is an offense that, you know, has a lot of safe options for him. Bilal Powell's a useful receiver in the receiving game, but their tight ends are abysmal. You know, Jermaine Kearse is an okay possession receiver, someone who I'm a fan of, but I don't know that necessarily everyone else is. Terrell Pryor has been useful in the past, played on, you know, he was a meaningful part of a bad offense in Cleveland a couple years ago, but this offensive line it's okay. It's certainly not incredible by any means. Some injury concerns, especially at left tackle with Kelvin Beachum. So, you know, I just think the infrastructure is not really there to build, you know, to kind of get him into good habits and get him into getting the ball out quickly and having him, you know, making safe throws for easy completions. I think it's going to be, you know, him kind of having to shoulder the load, and he might be a great player. I don't think there's anything wrong with Sam Darnold as a player, but I do think they don't have the infrastructure around him to build a great offense right now.
I would agree with that. I think this is the worst team for a young quarterback to go to in this year's draft.
I agree. And when it's worse than the Browns, that's kind of scary.
Yep.
But I think it makes total sense. So then a couple teams passed on quarterbacks. The Broncos passed at 5, and then that led to the Bills trading up at 7, sending, they didn't have to send their first round pick. Other first round pick, they sent 12, 53, and 56 to the Bucks for 7 and 255, and they drafted Josh Allen. They took a shot on most controversial quarterback in the class, certainly someone who was mocked by Mel Kiper with the first overall pick to the Browns for most of this draft, or most of this draft process. They get a guy who has a really strong arm and who has big hands, which, you know, it's going to help in Buffalo, but I just, why take the risk with Josh Allen? And, like, I guess, you know, they're assuming he's going to be a bona fide franchise quarterback. He has all the athletic tools, but it just seems like guys like this fail so frequently that you have to really hope that you're right. And the vast majority of analysts, the vast majority of people who are looked at quarterbacks who've succeeded in the past, that they're all wrong.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, because the truth is, you know, everyone has been talking about how high Josh Allen's ceiling is, but it seems just as high as the ceiling. I mean, his bust potential is just as big,
right?
And so the idea of bringing him in again, you know, the Bills, when I look at the Bills offense, you know, at least the one thing that I really like is for a young quarterback like this, Shady McCoy is not just a great running back, but he's a great pass catcher
for sure.
And so that is always going to be helpful. And Charles Clay as a tight end, fantastic, you know, for a young quarterback to have.
Yep. Two sort of safety valves for him to work with there. And, I mean, this is a team that in the past, before last year, was able to run the football pretty comfortably. But the offensive line, they've taken a couple of hits. Eric Wood retired. Richie Incognito, I guess, retired. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if Richie Incognito is entirely sure at this point. But, I mean, this is a offensive line that has major problems on the interior. And the Bills, and part of their two trades, they traded for Tremaine Edmonds as well later in the first round, lost a good chunk of the draft capital that they could have used to address this offensive line. And so with Josh Allen, you figure he's going to be in pretty quick. AJ McCarron is sort of a placeholder. I think he's more likely to be a backup in the long term for the Bills than a starter. Brian Daboll, someone who had, you know, some success at Alabama, his pro success, you know, has been mostly with the Patriots, where I think pretty much everyone's successful when it comes to being a Patriots coach. And who knows, maybe he improved dramatically during his time in Alabama. But they're building an offense that is sort of another generation. They want to chuck it downfield and they want to run the ball, and that's not the worst plan in the whole world. Carolina had some success doing that, and I'm surprised that Sean McDermott might want to emulate that, but I am very skeptical. I mean, I said I was skeptical that the Browns took Josh Allen first overall. I have to admit I'm skeptical of Josh Allen being an impact quarterback in the short term or the long term for the Bills, having taken him at the 7th overall pick.
I think I agree with that. It is safe to say, do you think it's safe to say he's not going to be the worst? Nathan Peterman is still on this team, right?
He sure is.
So he won't be the worst quarterback the Bills have, no matter what happens.
I mean, probably not. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows is right.
Who is this wide receiver that he's going to take those deep shots to? I mean,
Kelvin Benjamin, you would figure, when healthy, is going to be that guy. And not that Kelvin Benjamin is a speed threat downfield, but he is a big body.
Yep.
And someone who's going to be able to at least outjump people for footballs here and there. And they still have some work to do. You know, I still think they have another receiver to add, either in the draft or, you know, maybe a, not necessarily a downfield guy, but a Jeremy Maclin type in free agency, someone to flesh out that receiving core. But
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, I don't think it's an especially pretty group of receivers and offensive linemen to work with.
Nope.
Now, next quarterback off the board, Josh Rosen, went to Arizona at 10. I'm a little, I feel better about this situation for a few reasons, and I don't know if you agree. Obviously, the Arizona receiving core has faded over the last couple of years when it was John Brown getting downfield and Larry Fitzgerald, perhaps a little younger, still playing at a high level, but, you know, he's been playing since I was a sophomore in college. So at some point you figure he's going to slow down. Ricky Seals-Jones was pretty impressive last year, really seemed to develop into, you know, at least not develop, but at least showed signs of being an impact tight end in the red zone, someone who you figure is going to be a useful receiving threat for them. And they did invest in the offensive line this offseason by signing Justin Pugh from the Giants, who's going to help either at guard or at tackle, depending on where he lines up. But I think the thing I like about Josh Rosen the most is that he has David Johnson to work with, and that's going to be like in a similar way to Shady McCoy, a guy who's going to be a run threat and also a receiving threat for him in the short passing game. And the fact that they have Sam Bradford, even though Sam Bradford's not going to be the long-term solution there, does give them some time to develop Josh Rosen. Granted, Bradford might get hurt in week two, but I mean, realistically, you know, like, it's a good chance Sam Bradford plays the entire year, plays for a majority of the year, and gives you time to get Josh Rosen in your system if you're Mike McCoy. So I'm not upset at the idea of them signing Bradford and then drafting Rosen.
No, that doesn't bother me at all. I think this was a good pick. I think it was a pick that they needed to make. And, you know, I might be crazy here. You can tell me that I'm totally wrong.
I would never.
But, well, you might when you hear what I have to say.
Uh-oh.
I understand that Sam Bradford is there, and so he'll be able to potentially learn under Sam Bradford a little bit. But anytime I feel like a young player, whether it's this position or not, gets a chance to play with Larry Fitzgerald, it's always going to be beneficial to me.
I agree.
The mentoring that takes place, even though obviously he's as a wide receiver, of a young quarterback and being able to have those conversations. Larry Fitzgerald is that consummate professional of, if he doesn't have to come in and start right away, and he can learn behind those guys, you know, and like you had said, being able to have Johnson there in the backfield, a great pass catcher, great runner. It's not, you know what? It's weird that I'm going to say this. I would still rather be the Browns.
Really?
I think than the Cardinals.
Okay.
I like the pieces that they have more than I like where any of the rest of these quarterbacks have fallen. I actually like the Browns offense and their potential.
Interesting.
More than I like where anyone else is. However, I do feel like Josh Rosen has a good chance to be able to succeed in this offense.
I like Mike McCoy more than Hugh Jackson, I think is what it boils down to. And Todd Haley is what it boils down to for me in terms of being an offensive mind.
And that's fair. I mean, that's something that the Cleveland fans have been trying to figure out for a long time. So.
To be fair, it's not like Mike McCoy was good last year. He got fired pretty quickly by the Broncos. So, I mean, I could certainly be wrong, but I'm intrigued by it. You kind of feel a little bad for Sam Bradford, maybe. You know, he signed a contract after I say he was about to hit free agency with the Eagles a couple years ago. They, like a month later or 2 months later, trade up for Carson Wentz, and then he gets traded before the year. He signs a one plus year deal with the Vikings. He gets traded to the Vikings, is there for 2 years, gets hurt second year, pretty much misses the entire run to the NFC Championship game. This year he signs a 1+ year deal with the Cardinals, and then 2 months later they draft Josh Rosen. So he has very little chance of ending up here. It's just a strange career. Like, it's very itinerant for a guy who the league seems to really value and like.
Yeah. Do you know why that is?
I feel like you're setting me up for something here.
No, I legitimately, as a fan that watched Sam Bradford play, I look at the idea that if he was so good, and he has put together very nice stretches in the NFL.
Yes, agreed.
But he's not a superstar quarterback, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so he just feels like that guy that, you know, if you're planning on him being your quarterback for 16 games, you gotta be aware you need to have a feasible backup.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. He's good enough to play, but he's not good enough to trust, or he's not healthy enough to trust.
Yep. Totally fair.
So you want him, but you don't want to have to rely on him.
Yeah. That's not what I want in my quarterback position. In case you were wondering.
That's very fair. So then we move all the way down. The rest of the draft goes on. Lamar Jackson is chilling in an incredible outfit.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. I mentioned this on my last podcast. I feel such an anxiety about the LeBron James Cavs thing because I feel very anxious that, like, if he bought me a suit, it wouldn't fit. I'd be like, well, this is small. Like, I don't, or big. Like, I don't know what my friend's suit sizes are.
Right.
So, but I think it would be worth the risk if someone bought me the Lamar Jackson suit for this draft. That was incredible.
It was. I'm going to say something controversial. I don't know if you've got the swagger to pull that off, Bill. It would be close. I'll say it would be close.
Here's the thing you're forgetting, though. I'm a podcast host.
Oh, that's true.
He's a quarterback. I'm a professional podcaster.
That's fair. Okay.
I saw something. There was some, they're not Madewell. It might have been Madewell, but like some clothing company was advertising like a podcasting shirt for women.
I saw that. It was the podcast co-host.
Podcast co-host, yes. And like, again, I don't do many podcasts in the room with people. I think I've done a couple with Mina. Number one, you don't need special podcast clothes. You can just wear whatever. There's not a dress code. But the idea that you would want to emulate, male or female, emulate a podcast host clothing attire is very confusing to me.
I thought about buying that and wearing it one day to a podcast.
Mm-hmm. But now, I will say, podcast host underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's MeUndies.
MeUndies.
Go for it.
Across the board. I'm wearing a pair of MeUndies right now.
I'm also wearing a pair of MeUndies right now. And this, to be clear, is not a MeUndies ad.
No, it is not. I can barely even feel them. That's how good they are. We should start talking about Lamar Jackson before this goes
Lamar Jackson.
Else.
I don't know if Lamar Jackson was wearing MeUndies, but he seemed very cool and collected as he was waiting to be taken in the first round. And he went off the board to the Ravens. I think it's a great spot for him to land with the 32nd pick. The Ravens traded down a couple times and traded back up. Similar, I believe, to the way, in fact, that they acquired Joe Flacco all those years ago. Sent 52, 125, and a 2019 second round pick to the Eagles to acquire Lamar Jackson. And I can't imagine the Ravens offense as currently constructed playing well with Lamar Jackson just because it's a ugly mess of football. But I do think this is an offense that Lamar Jackson can transform. And I think even though he's not a finished product, I think it can happen at least in a limited role sooner rather than later.
I think I would agree with that. How long do you think Joe Flacco has? What's his contract looking like?
It sounded like you were saying like he was sick.
No. Do you remember when he won a Super Bowl? You remember when Joe Flacco was a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I do. Unfortunately, the Ravens do too. And they spent a lot of money to keep him around. And so essentially I wrote about this a little bit in my column today. They can get out of that contract without any more guaranteed money after this season. Now, it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of dead money. But they can free up, I believe, almost $19 million in cap space if they designate Joe Flacco as a post-June 1st release. No, sorry, $17.5 million free in 2019, and then $8 million in dead money on the 2020 cap. And I mean, unless Joe Flacco takes a big step forward and has a Pro Bowl caliber year this year, you figure that is going to be the case. He's been one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football for some time now, and the returns have been consistently mediocre. And even if Lamar Jackson doesn't necessarily work out, I think this is the first time that they can really, you know, at least think about a post-Joe Flacco future with a viable quarterback on the roster.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And if I'm Ozzie Newsome, I am making sure that I am getting Lamar Jackson more help. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's nothing against Michael Crabtree or the running game that they have there, but he needs more pieces around him. Obviously, he's going to be able to do a lot with his legs, mm-hmm. hopefully. But they've got to be able to add more weapons for him to be able to reach his full potential. But I love, if I am a Baltimore Ravens fan, I love this pick.
It does feel like the sun is shining on you for the first time in about 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. There is hope. And I'm looking at, I feel bad saying this about Joe Flacco, but he's like that guy that's just, he's just sort of always there, but you're not excited about it, but he's not bad enough for you to be like, I mean, sometimes he's, but he's not bad enough for you to be like, you know, we have one of the five worst quarterbacks in the NFL. He's just,
I just, do you have a lot of confidence that Joe Flacco is going to lead you back?
No.
If you're down in the second half, and granted, he did do it in that Broncos game all those years ago. But I mean, this is a guy who had zero fourth quarter comebacks last year as the Ravens narrowly missed the playoffs. He had two the year before. He's had two or three each of the last 7 years. I mean, he does do it occasionally, but I mean, there's not, they didn't need a lot on offense last year to make the playoffs. This was a team that had one of the best defenses in all of football, and they still couldn't make it to 10 wins. So, who out there is arguing that Joe Flacco needs more time? And again, if he has a good year this year, I think he sticks around, but he has not been good enough. As a guy who's averaged he averaged 5.7 yards per attempt last year, which is staggeringly low. I just think in 2019, you either get Joe Flacco, who's rejuvenated looking good, or you get Lamar Jackson as a much more exciting option for your offense. And I think it's, you know, I think either of those possibilities have to be more exciting to Ravens fans than the opportunities that they were looking at before the draft.
Absolutely. 100%.
Wow. I would have taken 95%.
No, I am with you 100%. It's nothing against Joe Flacco, but if I can have a kid like Lamar Jackson manning my team and everything that he can potentially bring, I'm taking that in a heartbeat.
When you said have a kid, I was imagining a baby coming out in like a tiny version of the Lamar Jackson
suit. Yeah. I was, you know, that would be a pretty baller way to be able to come into this world, wouldn't it?
It would be. I agree. Do you think the Ravens should sign Dez Bryant?
You know, I said this. So I said this on Katie Nolan's podcast last week.
Who? I'm sorry.
A different person. Okay. But I said that I think Dez Bryant is one of the more overrated wide receivers in the NFL. I think a lot of what he is now is name value based on what he was, but he's had multiple years of not being able to reach 1,000 yards. Obviously, one of those years he had 8 touchdowns, but he hasn't been a touchdown machine, and he never really seemed to click when it wasn't Tony Romo throwing him the football, and he has, you know, been having some injury problems. He's a guy that I'm sure he would add more firepower to this offense for Lamar Jackson as a big target. But I don't know with the salary that he's going to command that he is going to be worth what a team is going to end up paying him, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, I think it's just a question of how much is the price tag for Dez Bryant. You know, he wants a 1 year deal. He wants to be able to go back into the market next year after having rebuilt his value. And get a big contract on a multi-year deal. The Ravens reportedly offered him a multi-year contract that you figure was probably not for a ton of money. So, I mean, if you can get him at a reasonable price on a one-year deal, sure, take it. If you can get him at a reasonable price on a multi-year deal, sure, also go nuts. But I would not be going out with the idea that I'm going to make Dez Bryant, I'm going to pay him, you know, the $10 million a year that represents, you know, high number two, low number one money for wide receivers at the NFL right now. I just don't think he's at the point in his career where he's exhibited that, and he might break out. It's not out of the question, but I mean, you're taking a big risk if you're doing that.
I totally agree with that.
I think we should hit a break really quick, if you don't mind. I think we should do that, and then we're going to come back, talk about Saquon Barkley, some of the draft stuff, and some of the news that's broken over the last 24 hours since the draft on the Bill Barnwell Show. More coming in a second. But first, guys, as we sit here and talk about the NFL draft, obviously, this is not a process that has a great success rate. You look at those first-round quarterbacks like I did for ESPN.com over the last few weeks, only 40% of teams who draft a quarterback in the first round, even in the top 10, end up grabbing a quarterback who they're happy with, who 3 years, 5 years later, they say, man, we were really smart. We grabbed the quarterback we needed with that top 10 pick. That's not a good rate. You don't want to have a 40% success rate. And you don't want to have to wait 3 or 5 years to find that success rate. Now, I have some good news for you. If you're not an NFL team, even if you are an NFL team, I can improve those numbers for you. I can top Dave Gettleman's analytics with some analytics of my own because I have a stat for you. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just day, because ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for with your job, identifies people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply. You don't have to seek them out. ZipRecruiter is going to find them for you. They're going to find the right candidates, and that's why businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, if you are a listener of this show, which if you're hearing this, you have to be, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. $0, 0 cents, no scouting department, no expensive executives making fun of analytics. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. That's right, Dave Gettleman, I'm even going to give it to you for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, my last name, B-A-R-N-W-E-L-L. Try ZipRecruiter, post your job there for free. 80% of employers get a quality candidate in just one day. ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, back here on the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN, joined again by Daniel Dopp, also of ESPN. Very convenient, yes. Given that it's a show on ESPN. Thank you for coming back. And we have more to talk about. I promised that we would get to Saquon Barkley with the Giants, taken second overall. Dave Gettleman made fun of analytics. I think was impersonating someone typing on a keyboard in a nerdy fashion during the post pick press conference. I've already written a lot about Saquon Barkley and my thoughts with him going to the Giants. Don't necessarily want to rehash that here, but I'd like to know what you think, Daniel. Are you a fan of this fit for the Giants on the field?
I'm a fan of Saquon Barkley. I think that he is an incredible running back. I think that if I were the Giants, I would not have made this decision.
Why is that?
Because I am not an Eli believer for the long term.
You're not a Beliber?
I'm not a Beliber. Yeah. That's
okay.
It.
I'm with you.
I feel like what they could have gotten potentially with this quarterback class, to be able to have one of these other quarterbacks learn under Eli and have some time, especially with such a young wide receiving core of OBJ and Sterling Shepard and everything
Evan
that they
Ingram.
Have going on, Evan Ingram being able to be there. Like they had a lot of pieces that a young quarterback could have groomed and had a better career. Not that Saquon Barkley has nothing to do with what Saquon Barkley could do.
Right.
But I think what the Giants needed for this franchise was a quarterback to groom for the future. And I think Barkley is going to be great. It's not my favorite landing spot for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have anything to say that's negative about Saquon Barkley whatsoever. I just, if you're the Giants, yes, having a running back like Saquon Barkley is going to make your offense better. Nobody's arguing against that. But you're passing up the opportunity to draft a quarterback. You're paying Saquon Barkley a premium, which he might be worth, but you're not getting a big bargain the way that you could be with a quarterback. And in the short term for Saquon Barkley, this offensive line stinks. Even after adding Nate Solder, this is a line that lost Weston Richburg, who was their best offensive lineman at center. They lost Justin Pugh, who maybe might have been their best offensive lineman. It depends on, but it was one of those two guys. Playing a guard and right tackle. So you actually, even though you've brought in Nate Solder and you signed Patrick Omame from the Jags, it's a net negative for this offensive line. It was terrible last year and it's about to get worse. So to be fair, let's see what they do in the second round. Hopefully they're taking an offensive lineman at 34. That would be a logical thing for them. Maybe another offensive lineman at 66 and 69. I mean, they need to be in the offensive line market. And if they want to build their team that way, I think it's a little antiquated to think that running the ball is going to be the way you win football games, especially given what we saw from the Eagles and Patriots in the Super Bowl. But that's not unreasonable, and the offense might be just fine. So I've written about my skepticism about the move. It's not related to Saquon Barkley at all. I don't think it's the worst idea. I mean, if they had taken a kicker with the second overall pick, that would be a lot worse. But I just think they passed up an opportunity to get a quarterback. And like you, I'm skeptical that Eli is going to be the answer for this team for, past the end of this contract, which has 2 years left. And I don't know if he's even going to make it that far.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me. As a fan of a team that has had a quarterback that has been our franchise guy and had pieces, I feel like talented pieces around him. If you don't have an offensive line, your ceiling is so limited. Because your quarterback's just going to get destroyed. You're not going to open up running lanes the way that you need to be able to. And so you have to have otherworldly talent to be able to take full advantage of what it is that you can do when your offensive line is as bad as I feel like the Giants' offensive line is.
They're both bad.
The Jets isn't any better.
I mean, they shouldn't let Saquon Barkley play behind the Jets' offensive line. That would be cheating.
It seems like, unless they do like a trade thing like they do in soccer. you know?
Oh, like a loan?
Like a loan? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the Giants should loan out Saquon Barkley. I did pitch a whole article at Grantland about how baseball teams should be allowed to loan players, and I'm still a fan of that, but I don't think you should do it in football.
I think I agree with that. I think it would be a great idea for the minor league system to be able to have loaners.
Thank you. You mentioned the Lions, the team that you're a fan of. They don't have a bad offensive line. They have a pretty good offensive line, and it got even deeper last night in the first round. They drafted Frank Ragnow, which is a good offensive line name. I think we can agree.
Yeah. You always, the two things that you look at for offensive linemen that are like the most important is how good of an offensive line name do they have?
Great start.
And how long are their arms?
Sure.
You know
how,
what I mean?
How long are Frank Ragnow's arms?
They're long, like 34 inches. I don't know, 30. I mean, anything under 33 3/4 inches is way too short, but 34 inches is like, you're real good there.
Here's the thing though. Now I'm nervous my arms are too short.
I think my arms are too short. I don't think I can play center in the NFL.
You have many tattoos though. You have sleeves.
I do. I could, everything other than the size, I think, I don't have an offensive lineman name though. Do you think, is Bill Barnwell an offensive lineman name?
I think it's not. I think if I'm going to play any position in the NFL, I think it's definitely offensive line name. I don't, like, it's not a fast name.
No, Bill Barnwell doesn't sound fast.
He's, no, but, it doesn't.
But I'll tell you what, you sound like you could be a great run blocker, like one of those big mauling mm-hmm. run blockers, you know, like a road grader, mm-hmm. I think is the term.
Yeah, I would love to grade some roads.
Yeah.
A plus, B minus.
I don't know.
I'll give him all kinds of grades.
I don't know what Daniel Dopp is as far as a name. I don't think it fits for any football position.
You know what? I don't agree with you. I think I'd say it's a punter name.
Oh, you know what? I'd love to be a punter. I'd love to be a punter.
Play like 6 snaps a game.
Yeah.
On every play, there's like a 0.5% chance you will suffer an incredibly serious injury, but otherwise you're going
to
be fine.
No big deal. It's always great to be able to watch punters decide if they're going to, are you going to go after the tackle or are you just going to sort of let them run by you?
I'm just going to watch. You'll probably fall down. Someone else will get you.
someone will grab you. But as far as this pick for the Lions go,
yep.
I was a huge fan of it. Originally, I was thinking that we were going to go, you know, obviously defensive line was a big need there, but either going sure. guard with the idea that Graham Glasgow was going to take over center, but under being able to get, in my opinion, the best center in this draft
mm-hmm.
and leave Graham Glasgow at the left guard position,
mm-hmm.
I'm all aboard on this and the idea that, you know, he has such a high football IQ, he's got good work ethic, you don't have to worry about any of the things he can, you know, I hate to say this about every rookie, but, you know, you hope he's going to just be a plug-and-play starter from day one.
Right.
And it's a thing that the Detroit Lions need to have because their running game and their pass protection has been subpar.
Yeah, it's not good.
So,
I mean, I guess I'll ask you this. I think the right thing to do is build through your offensive line and your defensive line. So I like this pick for the Lions. I don't think it's too early to take an interior lineman. I think taking a center is fine if he's going to be a good player. And obviously, I think, you know, from what we know, Frank Ragnow should be a good offensive lineman at the NFL level. So, the thing you hear about, though, is, well, we didn't take the sexy pick. We took an offensive lineman that's not going to sell jerseys. It's not going to excite the fan base. I mean, do you think that is a big concern for the Lions? Like, do you think they are a team where, you know, because they don't have that Calvin Johnson anymore, you know, it is a more of a, you know, a receiving core and a running back core by committee as opposed to the, having that sort of star guy, that they should have been more inclined to go after a, you know, a big name, maybe like a Calvin Ridley, someone who was going to excite the fans more than an offensive lineman? Or you think it's just that they should just take the best player and then the fans will root for whoever?
I think they should take the best player. I don't think all the fans thought this was the best pick because defensive line is such a big need.
Sure.
I have watched this team draft so many big name wide receivers that mm-hmm. I could care less about having the guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a solid offense that your quarterback can spread the ball around to multiple different targets, you don't have to all be, you know, a Calvin Johnson type mm-hmm. of a wide receiver, in my opinion. And so being able to build through either line, and I think with what Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are doing and where they came from, mm-hmm. that, like you said, is a huge thing for them to be able to do. And I have been dying to not make a sexy pick for the Detroit Lions. I think strong is sexy. Hashtag strong is sexy.
Well, speaking of strong and sexy, what do you think about Matt Patricia shaving his beard?
I did not like it. I think he felt like he needed to do it for the introductory press conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I need to probably got to do this to look good. And I don't know if Bob Quinn asked him to. If he did, I would say something to Bob. I think next time Bob mm-hmm. and I see him, I might say something. But I hope he brings it back because that beard is a beautiful thing.
Now, to be fair, you're a little biased in this matter.
Oh, yeah, I do have a beard. Yes.
So is there an occasion for which you would shave your beard?
I shaved my beard one time since I got out of the Air Force, which was in 2012. I didn't fully shave, but I shaved all the way down to the scruff. I mean, with the no guard for my wedding, and that was the last time I did it. And I think that's it. I mean, I am who I am. This beard is a part of me, and I feel like that's the way it was with Matt Patricia. Like, that beard is a part of who he is. It's part of his personality.
Did you see the photo of Matt Patricia at the coaches gathering this year?
I didn't.
He looked to be wearing, we mentioned jeans earlier, he looked to be wearing, I would say, some 1997 JNCOs to the coaches thing. He had, I'm not saying that he's not, like, he should have tight pants. Like, no one's saying that, but, like, he had the baggiest pants I've ever seen another human being wear on at this coaches event. Have you ever seen that photo of Kevin Smith where he's at the, gas? He's pumping gas and he has, like, he has jean shorts on that are approximately 17 sizes too big.
I have seen that photo.
It was like that, but like green pants.
Did you ever own JNCOs back in the day?
Oh, of course I did.
I had a pair of JNCOs too. I only had one. I loved them while they were popular.
Sure. Who didn't?
Yeah.
I had JNCOs. I think I had Rockets were the other jeans I had that were like a knockoff JNCO brand. I do remember someone in junior high school who I'd been friends with for a couple of years stopped being friends with me. And the reason they gave, they were like, I don't want to talk to you. And I'm like, well, why do you not want to talk to me? What happened? And he's like, the leg of my JNCOs had fallen inside, like, the lip of my shoe as opposed to being outside my shoe.
Stop it.
And that was the pretense for no longer wanting to engage in friendship with me.
I gotta be honest, Bill, it felt like that relationship was a little bit fragile to begin with.
It's kind of precarious.
Yeah, if that's what it was. I don't know. I love Matt Patricia and the idea that if, you know what, if he wants to wear big pants because he's comfortable, I don't care.
Oh, no, I'm not criticizing him for wearing big pants. I just think...
I thought JNCOs went not out of style. I thought they went
back
bankrupt.
Into style?
No, I thought they stopped being a company.
I believe they are back. JNCOs are now, if not back in style, they are at least available again.
Dang it. I've been a skinny jeans guy for so long. Maybe I need to look at making the switch.
The good thing is you can wear your JNCOs on top of your skinny jeans.
You can wear
them both. You don't have to worry about picking one or the other. You could just take the JNCOs off in a formal situation and then put them back on when you are in a more casual situation.
Bill, I love the way you think.
You gotta get JNCOs as a sponsor for the show now.
We need to. I think we have to.
So yeah, I mean, that makes total sense to me in terms of not wanting another wide receiver. And I think that's fair. I think in general, you know, teams should be taking the players who are good. And I think if you have a good offensive line, you're going to develop a good running back behind them. And then fans are going to want to get that guy's jersey. I don't think you should be that concerned about getting a big name player.
No. And I would have been a fan of the Lions deciding if they wanted to trade down because we have a lack of picks to be able to do that. But, you know, obviously we stayed at 20. But that does make me wonder, Bill. There were a number of trades that happened.
It's true.
During the first round.
I wrote about some of them.
That's what I want to know. If you had to give me your worst... And the best trades of the first round. Let's start with the worst. Do you have one that you feel tops all of them?
So I think the best trade, I'll go best first.
Best trade? Okay.
Be nice first. The best trade, the JNCOs of trades, was the Packers, who it was Brian Kutkus' first draft. You figure he was going to be a little, you know, he wasn't going to necessarily know what he was doing. But he traded up and grabbed Jaire Alexander as part of he had traded down previously. We'll get to that trade in a second, because it fits the other side of this equation, but really came away with a very solid deal. Moving up 9 picks, only had to give up 76 and 186 in the process to move up and get Jaire Alexander, a badly needed cornerback for the Packers who have been trying to solve their defensive back problems for years now. It feels like after moving on from Casey Hayward, who developed into a star in San Diego and then with the Chargers in LA last year. So, I mean, who knows? Jaire Alexander might not turn into a franchise cornerback. It's tough to say, but I do love that move. It didn't cost much. It was $1.07 on the dollar on the Jimmy Johnson chart. So a very reasonable move. And then the worst trade was the other Packers trade, which was not worse from the Packers perspective. I think Brian Gutekunst had a great night, but from the Saints' perspective, where they traded up from 27 to 14, gave up a 2019 first-round pick. We all knew this. We all figured, okay, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. They're going to get that quarterback. And then it was for Marcus Davenport.
Marcus Davenport!
Which, you know, this isn't a reflection of Marcus Davenport, I think he is obviously a raw prospect a little bit, and edge rushers can be extremely valuable if they work out. I do think he can be, you know, possibly a very good pass rusher at the NFL level, but the Saints valued him by Chase Stewart's chart, a frequent contributor to the show, as worth more than the first overall pick in the draft. That is the amount of draft capital they gave up to draft Marcus Davenport. When teams like this have moved up in the past, when they've moved up from the bottom half of the first round to the top half of the first round and take a defensive end, those trades in the past have netted Damian Lewis, Drew McDougal, Derek Harvey, and Brandon Graham, which Brandon Graham's a good player, but he didn't start for 4 years in Philadelphia. And the other guys in that group were not impact players at the NFL level. So you have to be incredibly confident about Marcus Davenport to think he's going to be worth this sort of haul. And from the Saints' perspective, I just don't get it because they had such a good draft last year. They really changed the core of that team by holding on to their picks. They traded up for Alvin Kamara, but it was a much less significant trade up than this one. You should be holding on to your picks. You should be getting more of them, if anything, if you are that confident in your drafting, because you should want to get as many young guys as possible on this roster. You should try and get as many second and third round picks to work with if you can find valuable players in that part of the draft. So I don't love this move. It feels like an all-in move for the Saints, which when they did that in the past, it was to sign Jairus Byrd, which ended up being a disastrous decision. They have an unearned confidence after one good year of drafting, given what they've done in the past before this. So it feels like a move that the old Saints would have done, and that move has typically not worked out well for them.
The idea of giving up a first round pick next year just feels like, I just can't imagine. If I'm a Saints fan, I feel like I just watched my team mortgage part of their future for a raw defensive end, like you said, that could be fantastic. But every team could say this, every fan could say this, but I've watched a guy like that, you know, in Ziggy Ansah, who came in as a little bit raw and has developed into certain things. But if he's not if this guy is not an all pro, a pro bowler, year in and year out, giving up a first round pick next year, it just feels like it wasn't worth it. And even then, I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, maybe you're saying, okay, well, we have Drew Brees for another year or 2 years. Let's try and get as many guys around him as possible. But I don't know. I mean, that last year, they did not operate their team that way. And they came away with the best draft they've had in years and the best roster and the best record they've had in years. So I don't know. I think I would have gone about things that way as opposed to going all in for a player who, even if he works out, is probably going to be a player for 2 or 3 years from now than a player who's going to, you know, transform the league this year. So, I mean, it could work out. Again, it's not out of the question, but it's just you're taking an incredible risk in doing so. So we've got a couple of things left. Some news broke in the hours right before we recorded this podcast. And one of them is ESPN related. It seems like Jason Witten, the longtime tight end for the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer, is retiring, and he's going to become the latest addition to the Monday Night Football crew. So he's now a coworker. I'm probably inclined to say nice things about him. Obviously, someone who I think was came to work for ESPN, was a first ballot Hall of Famer for the Cowboys. Do you think if they knew Jason Witten was going to retire that they would have been so aggressive in moving on from Dez Bryant?
That's a tough one, because it feels... this is probably going to be surprising to you, Bill, but I don't have a huge pulse on the inside the Dallas Cowboys locker room.
Sure.
That being said, I just have a feeling that Dez, with the amount he was going to cost them and with the headache that he's been the last 3 years, and I don't mean it just from an off the field standpoint by any means. I mean, even on the field, he has just not been what it is they've been paying him to be. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted a fresh start to be able to go a different direction.
That's fair. And that's not unreasonable, you know. But I think the problem is now, Jason Witten retires. The Cowboys reportedly were not expecting it. They were blindsided in perhaps the same way that Dez Bryant was blindsided when he was cut by the Cowboys. This receiving core, it's problematic. Mm-hmm. At tight end, we have Jeff Swaim, Rico Gathers, Blake Jarwin. I have to admit, I did not know two of those people were NFL players until I just looked at their depth chart 30 seconds ago. The wide receiving core, you know, it's okay. It's Allen Hurns, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, Ryan Switzer, Deontay Thompson. I mean, those are you know, if those were your third and fourth receivers, you'd be fine. Maybe if those, if Terrence Williams was your number two guy and you had an absolute superstar number one receiver and a very useful tight end, you'd be okay. But this is not boding up to be a very good passing offense. And granted, the Cowboys are going to want to run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott anyway. You know, this could be good for his fantasy stock, I suppose, but man, they went from having a need at receiver, whether wide receiver or tight end, to being just absolutely desperate for talent at those positions. I mean, the Cowboys, I think this is now, they have to be both considering a trade for a veteran receiver if they can find one. But on top of that, I mean, you would figure they are going to be in the market for a receiver as early as the 50th pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, and there's a couple guys that I think could be there that could be useful to them. Mm-hmm. But that being said, the idea of losing both Dez, regardless of where he's at right now, losing Dez and being able to lose Jason Witten is just going to be a lot for Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And it puts him in a hole. I'm interested to see, you know, Allen Hurns has been a guy that when he's healthy, I mean, he's a big bodied receiver that can be helpful, obviously, but he's never put something together for a long enough time for me to say, I'm pretty good with rolling him as my number one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And So from that standpoint, I don't know as though, man, I don't know who else is out there that I would want if I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, unless I'm just going to run the ball down teams' throats, you know, 65% of the time.
Right. And I mean, again, this could be great for Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to get a lot of carries next year. I think that's quite clear, but you know, as you continue to develop Dak Prescott, as you sort of hope that you're going to have a good receiving core around him. I think look at teams like the Eagles where because they have a quarterback making very little in Carson Wentz, they were able to surround him with a ton of useful receivers, ended up winning the Super Bowl. The Cowboys, I mean, his receiving core has gotten worse each year, it feels like. And then he's making nothing. He's in the third year of his rookie deal. They're going to have to give him an extension next year, which is going to be a massive raise for him from, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars to probably about $25 million a year. And his receiving core is threadbare. I mean, this is one of the worst receiving cores in all of football. So unless someone breaks out unexpectedly, this is a pretty ugly mess for the Cowboys right now. And on the flip side, Patriots offensive line looked like it was going to be a problem after they lost Cameron Fleming, actually coincidentally to the Cowboys. They lost Nate Solder to the Giants. Adrian Waddle moved on. Or LeJuan Waddle is still there, excuse me, I'm lied. He's still there. But they were going to be stuck with Waddle and Marcus Cannon at tackle. Cannon missed most of last year. Antonio Garcia, their third-round pick from a year ago, you figure was going to be competing for a spot at left tackle. Well, now things look a lot better. They traded for Trent Brown today, former 49ers right tackle. Massive guy. A huge road-grading right tackle, very similar to me in my NFL career. And then drafted Isaiah Wynn as well with their first-round pick yesterday, one of their two first-round picks before Sonny Michel. So, you know, suddenly it looks like a much deeper offensive line for Tom Brady. And you have to figure that's going to make the suddenly temperamental 41-year-old quarterback, 42-year-old quarterback, 40-year-old quarterback, he's going to be turning 41 in August, have to figure that's going to make his life a little easier next year.
I definitely believe that. I want to know who you think got the better end of this deal, because I have thoughts on both sides of it.
Okay. I think the Patriots got the better side of the deal. I think the Niners, you know, they don't need Trent Brown after drafting Mike McGlinchey yesterday, and he's going to be their right tackle for now, probably their left tackle of the future once Joe Staley does move on. You know, might not be for a few more years at this point. But Trent Brown was an above-average right tackle before getting hurt, and he's recovering from labrum surgery, but that might actually make his price tag a little cheaper in terms of Giants may not have to, or not Giants, the Patriots may not have to pay a premium for him at right tackle that they would have had to pay if he was healthy. So I never fault teams for adding offensive line depth, and I think that, you know, trading down a little bit in this year's draft, as the Patriots did, I don't think it's going to cost them all that much. I do think it's a very useful sort of flyer on a player who could be one of the better right tackles in football when he's healthy.
Yep. That is exactly how I feel about it. I feel like they're able to get a young guy who, if he can come back from this, can definitely help out that offensive line, can help out Tom Brady. And for the 49ers, knowing that they drafted the guy that they have, you know, the only thought that I had is Trent Brown, you know, let's say Joe Staley eventually goes, is Trent Brown not somebody that you wanted to keep, you know, for when you want to swing over Mike McGlinchey to left tackle?
I will say, Mike McGlinchey, good offensive line name.
Great offensive line name. Really is good.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Niners are doing the right things in terms of protecting Jimmy Garoppolo. I think their offensive line is going to be very good, it seems like, next year. And I can't fault the Patriots for going after Trent Brown either. So I think it makes sense for both sides. You know, if the Niners weren't going to sign him, you want to move him on. You want to get a pick now as opposed to waiting for a comp pick in a couple of years, or not getting one at all if you sit out free agency. And, well, the Patriots got a guy who can be an above-average right tackle when healthy. Doesn't force them to put Wynn in the lineup immediately. Doesn't force Waddle in the lineup. They're a team that loves to rotate their tackles, so they can do that. So I think it's a good trade for both sides, and we'll see what happens. Now, the Patriots, of course, added Sony Michel to their running back core. It just... Is there ever a year in fantasy football where you actually end up going after one of the Patriots running backs? Do you just sort of avoid it like it's a nuclear wasteland?
Yeah, I try to never get a Patriots running back if I can help it, because there is no rhyme or reason as to who is going to start any specific game. You'll have no idea. I mean, inevitably, somebody is going to put up big numbers, but it's going to be so spread out. And they're, you know, someone's going to do it for a game or two games in a row, and then they will get four touches the game, next game. For no inexplainable reason. It's just how it works out.
I will say, Sony Michel, good running back name.
It is a good running back name. It is a good running back name. And I, you know what? It's not like running, I mean, they had a need, I feel like, at running back for that style of runner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. It didn't, it's weird because it didn't feel like a Patriots pick to me.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't need it. That one felt different to me. Taking Isaiah Wynn, that felt like a Patriots pick. Mm-hmm. Sony Michel did not.
Yes. I will say his scouting report on NFL.com says he plays with an aging bull mentality in short yardage. What do you think an aging bull mentality means?
Aging bull mentality?
Yeah. A-G-I-N-G. Aging bull. Like a bull who is getting older.
Aging bull mentality. I'm probably looking ahead to retirement. I think I want other bulls to stay off my portion of the lawn.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
100%.
This is mine. And also, I have the right to mosey at whatever speed I want. I don't care what the speed limit is.
Fair.
And I think those are like the big aging bull mentalities that I sort of see.
So you think he gets the ball in short yardage and then sort of just yells at people to get away from him so he can sit and just listen to his radio as loud as possible?
Yes. Yes. I think that's fair. I have earned this right. I mean, I've made it this far. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know what? Sony Michel has. He's made it pretty far. So if he wants to pull a lawn chair out into the huddle, I don't think the Patriots should judge him for it.
No. Is that like, I always think it's weird when college basketball teams pull chairs out onto the court. I don't know why. It's just because in the NBA it doesn't happen, but it's like, all right, let's pull out chairs. So we're going to sit down for a second and talk about this.
That's very fair. I think people should bring chairs wherever. I don't agree. I think chairs are, they're very rarely do I have a point where I'm like, oh, I have too many chairs right now.
That's true. Especially the kind that fold up into that bag you can put over your shoulder. Like, those are clutch.
100%. Well, actually, you know what? I can't think of an example to the contrary. I was in an elevator the other day at a hotel.
Okay.
And there was a bench.
What?
In the elevator.
No.
Yes. At not like a big hotel, at like a hotel that had like seven floors.
Okay. Couple things that are problematic like that.
Sure.
If I'm sitting on a bench in an elevator, then the people that stand in front of me, like, I'm right at butt level.
You're 100% right at butt level.
That's not where I want to be with strangers, especially if you don't know if it's going to be a packed elevator or not. You don't have any control over that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want that butt in my face.
It's very true. Fair.
Yeah, I don't.
You said there was more than one thing.
I think I just got so caught up on that one. I don't even know if I can go past that.
It's fair. You know what? You solved it in one as to the problem. You don't need any other explanation or justification for it. That butt needs to get out of your face.
That's the truth. That's it.
So yeah, outside of elevators, chairs should go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think I need it inside of elevators. I just don't.
All right. Well, someone who I'd be happy to share an elevator with is Daniel Zopp of ESPN. And thank you so much for coming on the show today, Daniel. What do you want to plug? This is your chance.
Oh, gosh. You always give this chance to people, and I didn't even think about this. So I want to just say that I love my mom and my dad, and I want to thank them. And my little brother, my friend Kurt, just had a baby. And
so are you saying you love Kurt, the baby, or both?
I love Kurt and the baby.
You haven't met the baby, though.
I have not. I've seen pictures of the baby, so I'm very happy with that. But in all seriousness, I am doing a ton of fantasy stuff this next week. We're doing a fantasy-focused football podcast, and I have the Fantasy Summit coming up where we're going to do a whole deep dive in all the offensive players that are coming out. So definitely check that out. And If you haven't ever watched The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry, which you can't right now because it's a fantasy thing, so it's August through December, we have a lot of fun on that show. We have some weird things that happen. So definitely check it out. In like 4 months, you'll think back to this conversation of this podcast.
Can you set your DVR 4 months in advance?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, that's a big shame.
Yeah.
If the technology is invented, I would set your DVR 4+ months in advance for The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry. But, Daniel, always a pleasure to do a show with you, and pleasure to do a show on the air as opposed to just talking off the air with you.
I loved it, man. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, and thanks so much for listening today, guys. We're going to come back with more Bill Barnwell Show next week. I think a mix of the second half of the draft, maybe some NBA stuff as we talk about the playoffs there. But more podcasts coming. Thanks so much for listening.